Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to this last edition of the Cyril-Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, NBA post-game Celtics-Cavaliers 112-99, take out the Celtics and find themselves just 48 minutes away from yet another trip to the NBA Finals, which would be their third straight and LeBron James' seventh straight trip, as they will await the Well, not quite there yet. They will eventually await the Golden State Warriors, who closed out San Antonio last night in a sweep that we'll talk about that series later on in the program. There wasn't much to talk about in regards to that series, as you just after Kawhi Leonard twisted his ankle, it was a that series was absolutely a done deal. But Cleveland gets the victory 112-99. In a game that, frankly, was closer than that score indicated. Boston, I give Boston a lot of credit. I thought that they were going to get manhandled in this game. LeBron came off a bad game, probably his first bad playoff game in about 5 years, basically. And in Cleveland, I thought Cleveland would win this game by 20, 25 points easily, but that was not the case at all, as Boston came out in the first half, really moved the ball. LeBron gets in the foul trouble, gets four fouls in the first half. I'm not gonna go crazy about Tyronn Lue not sitting him on the bench, because at the time, I thought, hey, there's no way they would ever call a fourth foul on him in his own building. So I'm not going crazy about questioning that, whether or not Ty Lue should have sat him. Turns it out it didn't make a difference, because Boston was not able to take advantage of that. They were up by 10. LeBron goes to the bench. LeBron goes to the bench, and Boston's up by 10. He went to the bench with about at least about 6:46 left in the second quarter, and they basically, they didn't gain anything. They were up by 10, went to the half up by 10, and as Kyrie Irving had a big second quarter, kept them afloat in that second quarter, didn't allow the game to get out of hand, did not allow the game to get out of hand. And you went to halftime thinking, feeling good if you're a Boston fan, but also feeling like you left some points on the table. And that certainly was the case in the third quarter, as Kyrie Irving went nuts in the third quarter, had the 21 of his career playoff high, 42 points in the third quarter. LeBron closed it out in the fourth quarter, as he had about, 15 or 13 of his 34 points in the fourth quarter, and there you go. Boston just did not have enough offense. Still got good shots. Listen, here's what I'll say, I expect Ty Lue to say this about how well Cleveland defended. That Cleveland defense is not suffocating by any stretch of imagination. I mean, Boston missed a ton of open looks in the second half. And again, listen, they don't have any star power, even forget about it. Put Isaiah Thomas aside, and he's their only all-star, but they don't have any, star power, a guy that's going to bail you out when a team is making a run like Cleveland was. So they don't have that. They are absolutely a collection that, frankly, was playing well in the first half of this game. Brad Stevens said it right. I don't think that they can play any better. In a half, considering defensively or offensively. Again, they should have been up more points, but at that point you're nitpicking because if you're on the road against the world champions and up by 10, probably should have been up by 15, 16. But again, that first half was almost as good as Boston could possibly play. LeBron returns back to somewhat form. Now listen, the numbers, you look at his numbers. Numbers were, spectacular. 34 points, Let's look over here. He has 34 points. You know, 7 assists and 7 rebounds. But, yeah, 34 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Just 1 for 8 from the 3-point line. But I don't know. It was some little missing there with LeBron in the first half, even before the foul trouble. I don't want to say coasting. I don't want to make too much of this. The guy did have 34 points, but he hasn't had that same bounce in his step over the last two games, even in this game, as he did the first part of the first couple of games of the series, and for the basically the entire playoffs. Now, I don't think, you know, fatigue. I don't buy the fatigue factor, but just, you know, has not had that same explosion per se from start to finish, and especially these last couple games, as he had the first 10 games of the postseason. But again, the guy, you know, had 34 points, had a big fourth quarter. I don't think it's too much to worry about, especially if Cleveland can go out there on Thursday night and take care of business, which I expect them to do. You saw what Golden State did last night. They're going to get basically 9 or 10 days off, 9 days off. Cleveland, you saw Kyrie Irving tweak his ankle a little bit. Kevin Love, I don't know if his back tightened up at the end of the game, but he kind of walked off the court for a couple seconds before, you know, didn't go to the locker room. But in Cleveland, you have an older team as it is. You can't mess around on Thursday. Boston has shown you that they're going to fight. You're going to have to kill them. That they're not going to lay down and just, you know, give you the Eastern Conference Championship. They've shown you that they're going to fight no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how many players they lose. Amir Johnson didn't play tonight. Not that, you know, it would have made any type of difference, but still, he is their starting center. Along, of course, you know, Isaiah Thomas is done with the hip injury that apparently had been going on. It had been going on since March that he injured, hurt his hip, and it, you know, kind of playing with it throughout the duration of the play, throughout the playoffs, and even towards the end of the regular season. So, you know, if you're going to State, excuse me, you're Boston or Cleveland, you can't mess around Thursday night with a guy. Because what happened is, I'm telling you right now, you mess around Thursday night, next thing you know, you might be looking at a game 7 in Boston. Like, if I'm Boston, I may not feel that I can win this series, but I feel that we can compete. I feel that we can play. I mean, I feel that we can play with these guys. Like, you know, first two games, you look at it, they must have been thinking to themselves, we don't even belong on the same court with these guys. That is gone. Whatever fear factor that Boston did have or being tentative, that's gone. I mean, now, you know, they are in the fight. Bad news for them is they waited, you know, till game 3 to join the fight when they were already down 2 home games and having basically were on the cusp of getting swept. That's the issue for Boston. Like, you waited this long, you know, you waited until game 3 to get physical and you know, start, you know, trying to trash talk and things of that nature. Now, again, not that this series would be any different, that it's not going the way it should go, but Cleveland now knows that they are in a fight. Again, I fully expect them to close it out in game 5. Like, I don't think they're going to mess around. I think they want the rest. They want to, get a couple extra days preparation for Golden State and move on. If they lose game 5, if they lose Thursday night, then they'll have to come back to Cleveland for a game 6 on Saturday night. They want to make that trip to Cleveland. They don't want to make that trip with Boston making that trip with them. So 347-215-6180 is your call number. 112-99. Cleveland takes out Boston. Boston held to 42 second half points. Cleveland basically shot 60% for the game. Shot probably close to 70% in the second half. At one point, Cleveland made 21 of 24 shots from the field and was shooting 79% from the field. So they really had a big second half again, led by Kyrie Irving, who was out without question the best player on the floor in this game. It's not even close. He was the dominant player, again, even with the tweaked ankle. The guy, he's the layup king. I mean, this guy finishes as well as any player in the sport, in the sport. I mean, that's all there is to it. And without, you know, without the without ridiculous amount of athleticism, I mean, not a bit, you know, doesn't, you don't see them getting a lot of dunks, but just left hand, right hand, off whatever angles, from anywhere on the court, the guy is just one of the league's best finishers. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we'll pay a tribute to a Spur. That's coming up, and much, much more on this first edition of Sergio Quinn's Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number as Kyrie Irving's at the post game right as we speak. Again, 42 points, 21 in the third quarter. Had a big, just, you know, second and third quarter. That's where this game was won, and was won for Cleveland and lost for Boston. Boston should have been up by more points at halftime. And then you see Kyrie Irving have the 21 point third quarter where he was just, you know, was like 9 for 10 from the field and just could not miss a shot. And most of those were layups. I think he had a couple of threes, but the majority of those were right at the rim with these just ridiculous finishes that he had. I thought Cleveland, you know, you've been hearing for the last couple of years, ever since he joined the team, about incorporating Kevin Love and how do you use Kevin Love. And it basically took Cleveland basically the better part of 3 years to figure out, you know, how to use Kevin Love and for him to get comfortable in his own basketball skin as a Cleveland Cavalier. As he had to, you know, now we go from being number one option, clearly a number one option in Minnesota off a team that never made the playoffs, to a number three option on a championship team. And there's no question, when Cleveland's at their best, Love is their third option. I thought Cleveland got themselves in a lot of trouble, especially in the first half. And we saw this even a little bit last game, despite his numbers, with just too much Kevin Love. I mean, it's one thing to get him involved, but, you know, first half, first quarter, they basically run their offense through him, it seemed like. And to me, it was taken away from LeBron and taken away from Kyrie. When Love settled in and just became a rebounder and, you know, a couple of occasional post-ups, but when the ball was dominated by Kyrie and LeBron, like Kyrie in the third and LeBron in the fourth, Cleveland is clearly at their best. Now, I'm not saying that you can't incorporate love in your offense, you know, other than using him as a glorified 3-point spot-up shooter at all. But he's not a number one option. I mean, that's all there is to it. And, you know, on this team, he is a clear number three option. There's LeBron, there's Kyrie, there's Love, in that order, clearly. So I thought Cleveland's it'll be very interesting to see moving forward to see if Love can find the balance of, you know, being unselfish, being aggressive, but not taking LeBron and Kyrie kind of out of the next series against Golden State, which is going to happen. Again, it's inevitable. We saw last night Golden State take out San Antonio in just one of the most anticlimactic playoff series that you ever will ever see. I mean, Golden State, that, you know, again, when it's, you know, it's just a shame that we don't get to see what that series could have been had Kawhi Leonard not twisted his ankle. I mean, forget about Tony Parker. That's what happens when you get old. Old players get hurt. So that I'm not making a big thing over you know him with the injury. We would like to see him healthy, but you know he's in year what 15, 16 year I think believe year 15. He's old. Kawhi Leonard, you know, Grandpa is going to have a long offseason as he decides to trade LaMarcus Aldridge now or wait till, you know, summer 2018. But Greg Popovich is, you know, going to be sipping some wine somewhere, thinking about what could have been had Lamar had if his best player, one of the top two to three players on the planet, does not twist an ankle. As far as the Spurs go, Manu Ginobili, of course, could be his last game. You know, who knows with the Spurs? The guys don't make big, you know, you saw Tim Duncan go out quiet. It's not going to be a big, you know, I don't see this being an entire summer type decision. I think Ginobili will decide rather quickly whether or not he comes back. He clearly is about 4 to 5 years past his prime. But, you know, and I say this all the time, you have to be careful with statistics. You really do. You look at a guy like Sharif Abdul-Rahim, and he was a guy who was probably close to being a 20-point-per-game scorer for his career, but his points didn't impact any basketball games. He never was on a winning – I don't think none of his teams ever made the playoffs. But, again, talented player, was a very talented player. Don't get me wrong, but his points did not impact the game. Manu Ginobili was basically – you know, 14 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds for his career. Better numbers in the postseason. But basically, Manu Ginobili, he has basically best pedestrian numbers for a guy who's gotten the kind of attention and a guy who's going to Hall of Fame. That's because his points impacted the game at a high level. This guy was a money player. In the playoffs, his numbers went up. I would say from about 2005 to 2010, 2011, he probably was the Spurs' best playoff player, even better than Parker. I mean, he was that good at peak Manu Ginobili. I mean, Ginobili was a finisher. He was a point guard, six man. Whatever he needed, whatever they needed him to do, he did. Never had any complaints. I mean, for years he was playing six man. We know this guy could be a starter on a championship game. This again, he would be in the Hall of Fame just based on what, not only based on the 4 championships, but based on what he also did internationally with his Argentina national team. So, again, one of the guy. Listen, this guy would go at it with any two guard. Remember, came along with the golden age of two guards. As far as I'm concerned, Kobe, Wade, Tracy McGrady, you know, he's going up against those guys night in, Allen Iverson, night in and night out. He's going up against those guys and didn't back down from anybody. I've seen never, not, you know, I've seen as a Laker fan, I've seen players, you know, kind of melt under the pressure of trying to deal with Kobe Bryant going back and forth. This guy, when he used to match up against Kobe, he didn't blink once. Not one time, not once. It doesn't matter if Kobe was giving him the business, he would come right back at Kobe. And as hard as he, Kobe would go at him. And again, that guy came to play every single night. And in the playoffs, you knew that he would bring his best game. And he wasn't afraid of anything. Still not afraid of anything. He just, you know, he's just 39 years old. I saw it was very interesting. A reporter says, you know, basically asked him, does he pace himself? And he says, no, I try hard every game. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I might score 25, another night I might only score 2. But I, you know, this guy went hard every single night, gave up his body, and still managed to play. Remember, he came in at the age of about 25, 26, and maybe even 27. Let's say he came about 25, about 24, 25. And played 15 years with just a reckless physical style of play that, you know, that you didn't, but we did not think would last for long just based on how much pressure that he put on, that much, you know, how much he, punishment that his body took. But again, a guy, again, a all time great Spur, a winner, and a guy who certainly will be in the Hall of Fame, that is Manu Ginobili. Again, if you're going to State, you're going to get the rest. I've been saying this for like last week, maybe last couple weeks, Steve Kerr will coach the finals. There's no question in my mind that Steve Kerr will absolutely coach the finals. He was in the locker room last night. He traveled to San Antonio, which is a big deal because you have to catch a plane. So I don't think, you know, kudos to Mike Brown. Give a salute to Mike Brown. You did your job. You held down the fort. You didn't lose a game. You did your job. You held it down. But game one, June 1st, 9 o'clock, Steve Kerr will be on that sideline, period. He absolutely will be on that sideline. Trust and believe. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Cavaliers 112, Celtics 99, 48 minutes away from a three-match history. First, it'll be first time that two teams meet three straight years in the NBA Finals. Just 48 minutes away from that. We'll see if Cleveland can close it out on Thursday. See you next time.